Welcome back, everyone. This is Once Upon a Phrase. I am your host, Jason.
And your other host, Lisa.
And wherever you're listening, YouTube, Google, Spotify, Apple, whatever, remember to rate the show, review the show, all of that good stuff.
Also, don't forget to follow us on our Instagram at Once Upon a Phrase.
And last but not least, if you are in the Chicagoland area, specifically Andersonville, as always, we encourage you to go hit up our biggest sponsor and only sponsor, Fat Chris's Pizza and Such. It's good stuff. You won't regret it. They specialize in Detroit-style pizza, but really, they got it all.
Also, just some new Season 2 stuff. We are releasing episodes bi-weekly, and we have started a listener's request phrase, so feel free to submit any phrases that you're interested in knowing the origin and meaning of to us on Instagram, or if you know us personally, any other platform, or send a text message or a phone call, whatever works for you.
Perfect. Alrighty. So this episode, Season 2, Episode 11, this is, I don't know what this theme would be. So I guess originally this started off as cars, but the more research we did, it kind of leaned into like roads and driving. So
roads,
like,
transportation.
We'll say all things transportation. Is that what we're going to call it?
Sure. I mean, it's all related to transportation.
All
of
right.
Some sort.
So we'll go with transportation. That's the theme of this episode. I'm going to get us going. And so this is kind of it's a two words, but the words parkway and driveway. So I wanted to do this because I always thought those were interesting words. And I recently saw something that kind of got me thinking. A parkway is a street, right? It's, you know, you live on such and such parkway. It's like avenue or boulevard,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
Okay. Well, a parkway is a street that you drive on.
Correct.
But a driveway, what
is where you park your car.
Yeah. So why do we call a parkway that you drive on parkway, but we call driveway, which you park on, a driveway?
This is one of those things that I feel like as people, we just say, and we just don't realize.
Just blindly
right.
Believe it. Yeah. It just, in your head, it makes sense, right? Because
mm-hmm.
It's always been like that, right?
Right.
So this is one of those things. I was trying to explain this to a buddy of mine at work, and I think the whole time he thought I was high or something. He was like, where did this come from? And I was like, I swear I saw something that mentioned this, and I couldn't get out of my head. All right, so I had to do some digging. So we're going to start with parkway, right? So parkway originally refers to the way through a park. So, did you know that landscape architect is a real job? Think about those two words.
So, landscaping, I'm thinking of like, you know, working on the gardening aspect of things.
Sure.
And an architect so not like designing a building, but designing where the, like, the shrubbery and the stuff like that goes and the trees get planted.
Exactly. And I in no way mean to diminish that job, because after doing some research, it's actually a fascinating job, and it takes a lot of effort, because you're exactly right. They're not designing a building. They're designing
like
landscape.
The aesthetic look of things.
Exactly. And
okay.
You wouldn't believe how many nuances there are to this job. But there's a pretty famous one named Frederick Olmsted. And back in the mid-1850s, Olmsted is credited, you know, him and a partner, I think the guy's name is Vaughn, if I'm remembering correctly, but they designed Central Park, right? You know Central Park?
In New York?
Yes. So this becomes like the mecca of all parks.
I've never been there, but I've watched many of movies that where they show like that aerial view of it, and it looks, I mean, whatever landscape architect created that, I mean, it looks gorgeous. So
yeah,
I mean, they did a great job.
It was Olmsted, right? And it's not just a park. It's like we think of a park with swings and stuff.
That's a lot of like trees.
It's trees, it's pathways, it's benches. I think there's a merry-go-round in there.
So is it like their version of like a forest preserve slash
no, no, no,
park?
No, it's very much still a park, just a large, large park. So when they were designing this, Olmsted was tasked with turning it to a place where people would want to visit. So he actually made pathways to go through it. And it wasn't just Central Park. There's a lot of parks like this that are walkable, right? And we live in a big city, so we have our own. And surprise, surprise, Olmsted is responsible for that too. Down in the late 1800s, 1890s, Chicago had its World Fair.
Right.
Well, the area in which most of the World's Fair is on is a swampy piece of trash land. I mean, this place is a dump.
Okay.
But it's Jackson Park, and they needed to make that the spot for the 1893's World Fair. So they call in the best of the best. The guy that did it for Central Park, Olmsted, comes over. He makes the park. And I recently just read Devil in the White City, which is sort of a mixture between like the World's Fair and H.H. Holmes, the
The
murderer in the hotel.
yes. Yeah.
Okay. So that's a large part of the book, which is why Olmsted is familiar to me. But essentially, these large parks that get created do so in a way where, like, it's not just for children. Adults are walking through it. It's beautiful to look at. The water's here. The bushes are here. The trees, the flowers, all of that stuff, right? So when a parkway is a pathway through a park. All right, are you with me?
Yes.
Because
So I
there's
got.
more.
Okay. So he Olmsted created a way to get through a park, which is why it's called a parkway.
He didn't create it. He popularized it. He's one of the best to do it, right? Well, down the line, as the country continues to develop, there are more and more roads being created. And there are certain roads that are, do you know what it means to take the scenic route?
Yeah. My mom likes to take the scenic route. She doesn't like the highways, so she always takes like the, I wouldn't say the back roads, but the roads that have more to look at. It's not like the highway or something like that.
That's
Yeah.
exactly what it is. Yeah, so it's the roads that have more to look at. That was a nice way of putting it. Generally, scenic routes, they have it's an experience. You get tall mountains or beautiful trees or big
Or nature,
fields,
lots of nature.
nature. Shout out to once again our sponsors, Fat Chris, one of the owners, our friend V. She loves her some nature. Inside joke and their listeners, so that'll be funny only to them. To the rest of you, sorry. Anyways, so as these roads get created going through America and there's stuff to look at, it's kind of like you are driving instead of walking through the parkway. So they named these roads parkways and, like Boulevard Avenue, it was just such and
Okay.
such parkway. Even though you no longer are walking through a park, it's sort of like you're driving through.
The scenic route of
Yes.
the street. Okay.
So, even though it shifted from walking through a park to driving through a scenic kind of adventure, we kept the name Parkway. You still with me?
I'm with you. I'm trying to see my driveways where I park, though.
Right. So, that is because we are now living in an overcrowded big city where everybody's driveway is 20 feet long and you're lucky if you can fit two cars in it, right? For a long time, driveways was actually the road that you drove up to somebody's house when people had family farms or, a lot more land than we have now. You would have to turn in off the main road and drive all the way up to their house. That was the actual driveway. What we think of in our head now, that 20 feet of concrete that you park your car on, that's what we have now.
Okay, so it's just been the same term, but it's used in a different way due to the nature of how houses are built.
And then again, that's just here. We you think, big cities or suburbs, there's only so much, but we're, when we go to my brother's house,
Or Rose's house, there's
yeah,
a driveway
he's got
to,
actual
yeah.
driveways. And again, back in the day, you might drive half a mile before you actually got to the residence. Now, even on the bigger houses, it's maybe like a couple hundred feet. But so originally, you walked through a park. Those were parkways. Now we drive through them. And you used to have to drive up to people's houses on the driveway, but now we park on those. So, like I said, this blew my mind. I hope I explained it well because.
I'm just wondering, you said this came to you at work. What in the world were you doing
No,
that
no,
just
no,
like
no.
popped into your head?
No, it came to me while I was watching something on TV. I was explaining it to a buddy at work, and he thought I just lost my mind.
I could see that. It makes sense, but it sounds like a crazy person, essentially.
Yeah, we, without a doubt, created this podcast because there were just certain words or phrases that we really wanted to dig into. This had never occurred to me, and now we're 20-plus episodes in total into this, and this is why I do this podcast. This Parkway Driveway thing was, I mean, this really got me. So, like I said, I hope I did a good job explaining it. All right, Lisa, you're next. What do you got for us?
So, I think it's a, I can't even think of the way I want to say it. This is a perfect segue, right?
Sure.
Okay. Perfect way to walk into mine. Mine is jaywalking. You've heard that term before, right?
Oh, everybody's first crime, jaywalking. Yep.
Right. So for those of you that maybe are unfamiliar, jaywalking just refers to kind of walking, not in a crosswalk.
And if you live in Chicago, that's everyone all the darn time.
So obviously we know now there are rules or there's laws in place that you can get ticketed and in trouble for jaywalking, right? That's why they have those signs tell you to walk in certain areas across the crosswalk, by the light, and so forth.
You think Chicago police would ever actually ticket somebody for jaywalking?
No, it happened to like some middle of earth like podunk town. It would not happen in Chicago.
No, I think our police got other stuff to worry about.
Right, you're more likely to get hit by a car or by a bus or someone on anything, any other form of transportation, than to get a ticket.
Absolutely.
So what I thought this was interesting is just like your driveway parkway thing came about with automobiles. This is where jaywalking got its start as well. So, you know, like from when you saw the World's Fair and things like that, a lot of the time the streets were used for people to like set up stands to sell things to be in. They weren't driven on before, you know, cars were manufactured. So once cars were manufactured and now those areas were not able to be used for people to socialize on and walk around on, they didn't really know how to cross the street at the proper areas.
People still don't know how to cross the street in proper areas.
Right, but at
areas.
Least then, like, in the, you know,
they had an excuse back
right.
then. Right.
They didn't know that there wasn't such a thing as a crosswalk. So it was a lot of situations where there was a lot of accidents happening between people, pedestrians, and automobiles because they were getting hit by the cars. So it became a pretty big issue. So one of the ways they tried to fix the issue is they tried to like pressure the automobile companies to put like a limit on the speed limits of the car so they couldn't go that fast. So they couldn't.
Oh, like a governor? It's a thing that
yeah,
like, limits.
It was like,
yeah.
They wanted to put that on the cars. They kept trying to say, okay, we'll just put a, can't go over like 25 miles an hour to avoid these situations happening. And the car companies were like, yeah, that's not going to happen. We're not going to do that. We got to find another way to do it because.
Well, especially since when cars first came out, people were so enamored with like the idea of driving. They loved going fast. They loved, you know, just, I mean, it's brand new to them, you
right.
know?
So the term jaywalking actually comes from the word jay meaning a rube or a greenhorn. And I had to look this one up because I wasn't sure what either one of those words had meant. It refers to like an inexperienced person. It's a person from the sticks. Like just someone didn't know any better.
So this is, so Jay is an insult.
Yes.
So if I'm understanding correctly, it's what today, I don't know, I feel like maybe we'd call like a noob, right? Somebody that's just like new to the game. Somebody that just doesn't know any better. And because of that, they suck.
Right. So what ended up happening was in 1912, Kansas City was the first place to pass an ordinance requiring people to have to cross at their crosswalks. And then it kind of trickled down from there with other cities and things like that that pass it. I actually found something very funny that, and I saw a picture of the ad. In 1924, there was a New York safety campaign where they had a person dressed up as a clown. Being rammed repeatedly by a Model T to like show like, hey, don't do this. Cross at the crosswalk.
Please, please send me this picture or this video and it's going up on the Instagram page. I don't know how you didn't have that ready to show me, guy. Hear me now. If you saw this picture, it exists.
I we did this research about 2 weeks ago for this. I remember seeing it 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so the internet's forever. Okay, she's tip-tap clacking away right now. She's trying to find it. We will find it. It will be on the IG page. I would love to see this clown getting rammed by a Model T. But so, I mean, what'd you say, 1912, 1924, something like this?
Early, yeah, 1924.
So we've had 100 years of jaywalking being a law, things like that, right? And people still can't cross in the crosswalk?
Nope.
So our daughter just started driving, and this is one of my biggest pet peeves, and I always have to tell her, you know, more often than not, if you accidentally hit somebody, it's still your fault. And that's usually going to happen, not in a crosswalk. Somebody's going to run across the street in the middle, you know, out of nowhere, and it's unfortunately going to be your fault. So I wish people didn't jaywalk. But I also jaywalk all the time.
So, okay, so I did find this picture. It wasn't necessarily a clown as we see it now. This is a black and white photo that I have pulled up. And it was at a New York safety parade. And it was a jaywalking clown repeatedly rammed by a slow-moving Model T.
That's good enough for me. We'll find it. We'll post it on the IG. Everyone needs to see this.
It's not as, like, I don't know, it's not colorful like I would picture a clown now. But it is a person just kind of with their behind, like, up on the front of a Model T. So, either way, we still haven't learned not to jaywalk. So it's still something that we are struggling with even now. All right, what do you have for us?
All right, my phrase is trailblazer. So this is obviously with our transportation theme, right? Being, you know, a trailblazer. So just first thing that comes to your mind when you think, when you hear trailblazer.
When I think of a trailblazer, I'm thinking like someone who's ahead of their time.
Perfect, right? Yeah, somebody who blazed a trail. Okay. Now think of it literally. Like, what image comes to your mind?
Well, if I think of a trailblazer, also I think of the car. But I don't know that I could put an image to a person who's a trailblazer. Just someone who's, I don't know. Obviously, I would think of a male, and I think of someone like brave, someone who's like manly, that kind of goes for something. I don't know.
So you're exactly right in the definition, right? Somebody who like sort of forges their own path, sort of creates a trail.
Like a manly man, I would think, could do something like that.
You know, it's 2024, Lisa. Women can be trailblazers too.
I understand that, but when you asked what picture came to mind, I'm thinking like old timey stuff.
Caitlin Clark is a trailblazer.
Okay. I get it. Anyways, continue.
Somebody on this podcast has to fight for women. All right. Okay. So yeah, so the definition we all... She hates me so much right now.
He just always trying to instigate trouble all the time. And now on a live podcast, he wants to go ahead and, you know, try to create some trouble here. So,
all right.
I live with.
Always creating trouble. I know. You're lucky to have me.
I don't know about that.
So, yeah. So it's somebody who blazes their own trail, right? Creates their own path. You know, you're exactly right. But the word blaze is what stuck with me. I think, and maybe this is just me, but when I think of somebody blazing a trail, you know, like you said, they're creating their own path. They're brave. They're starting something new. But if you take it figuratively, it's when I think of blazing a trail, for some reason, I get this idea in my head like they're...
Like setting fire?
Yeah, like they're setting fire to like, I don't know, through like the woods or through a field to, you know, create a path, like burn the shrubbery, something like that.
I mean, I look at it more figuratively, like you're burning your way, like you're burning your way through something and trying to like, you are setting fire to any obstacle that comes your way.
Perfect. Exactly. Right. And obviously it's the word blaze.
Right.
That does that for you. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We are completely misinterpreting the word blaze.
All right. So fill us in here.
Okay. So yes, a trailblazer. We all got the trail part, right? So what it is though, it had nothing to do with fire. Right. So way, way, way back in the day, when the Scottish were being pushed out of their homeland, they moved to Ireland, right? Only to find the Irish didn't want them there either. So you had this big influx of, you know, Scottish, Irish, you know, mixed people that ended up coming to America, okay? So a lot of the phrases and stuff that we get, especially in like, you know, middle America or the southern areas, are more like Scottish Irish terms. So this blends a little bit from that. But what they would do is, as they were going through the frontier, right, in all this, you know, this wooded, forested area, they would put a blaze on a tree. You know how like we leave breadcrumbs or, you know, something like that, just to find your path back.
Okay, so what does putting a blaze on a tree mean?
So this is where it gets you, because I thought maybe they would burn a mark into a tree, right? Obviously, you're not burning a path down the whole frontier, but you know, burning an X into a tree, something to do with fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
A blaze is actually the white mark on a horse's face. You know how some horses, they'll have like, they're like dogs. They have different designs, different spots.
Right. I'm trying to picture a horse. Most of them have like that white spot in between, like on the top of their nose or between their eyes, right?
Yes, on their eyes. Okay. Right? And it, like I said, just like a dog or even a cat, they just, different spots, different shapes, different colors, things like that, right? So if you had a horse with, you know, a white mark on its face over the eye or the nose, they called that a blaze.
Hmm.
So
okay.
Nothing to do with fire. But when they would mark the tree, again, they would, you know, like with a, all I can think of, it's probably not called it, but like a chisel, you know, take some of the bark off, you know, so you could see down to the white of the tree, or they would actually, you know, mark it white, and it would just put a white spot on a tree, basically. But that white spot resembled the white spot you'd see on a horse's face, which is called the blaze. So they would blaze a trail, not set fire to a trail, but put white marks on the tree to look like a horse's face.
So they would find their way through the frontier and find their way back if they needed to, you're saying?
Okay. Yes, but has nothing to do with fire.
So how did it become what we refer to it as, like a person being able to like overcome and...
Well, because as you went through the frontier, I mean, they weren't just walking through for fun. They were creating paths and roads, and they were actually creating trails. Sometimes...
Ah, so maybe that person who was able to get through was called a trailblazer.
Because he would put blaze marks on the trees, creating a trail that would be used for roads and trade routes and, you know, or sometimes just clearing an area for a property, right?
Ah, okay.
That person literally created a trail. Just like we would use it figuratively now, like they invented a new product or a new strategy or something like that. They led the way.
It's like one of those phrases that as people settled, it started to gain momentum and then started to be utilized in more of a figurative way as history went on.
But it still means exactly what it says. We just associate the word to meaning fire instead of the blaze white mark on a horse's face. But yeah, still a person that created a trail. That loosely fits with our transportation theme. I just had to squeeze this in. Because I found that out a couple weeks ago, you know, kind of gathering some words for, it's part of our process. We gather a lot of words and then we separate them into themes and then we start research, but I had to squeeze that in. I was so enamored by that, the whole trailblazer thing. All right, Lisa, bring us home. What are you going to wrap us up with?
So this stemmed from when Jason came up with the idea for, he was like, we got to talk about Driveway and Parkway in this next episode. I'm like, what?
You guys have no idea how much Driveway
like,
and Parkway drove
like,
this episode.
We got to do this. I was like, all right. So if we're doing that, it's got to be, you know, car, transportation, road related. So I start, you know, go like Jason said, we have a list. So start sorting through things and finding things that I found was interesting and looking them up and so forth. So I had one. And then I remember we were driving in the car, and we were driving past the intersection, and I saw the word jalopies. It said jalopies 4, and then the light changed. So I didn't see what...
I saw what it said. It said jalopies for Jesus.
I saw that the second time around. So when I saw jalopies 4, I assumed it meant like jalopies for sale, right? And I'm like, okay, I've never used that word, but I know it's been used to refer to cars. So then I had to look it up and I was like, oh, this makes sense with our, you know, road transportation idea. So you know what a jalopy is, Jason?
Yes, in the best way possible. This was a vocab word I remember from grammar school. We were reading a book and, I mean, we're grammar school teachers. You know how front loading and teaching vocabulary and stuff work.
I've never read a book where they use the word jalopy, so I've never
No,
taught my kids that
but
word.
you've
So,
taught vocabulary.
yes.
And then for anyone else that's listening that's a teacher, there's two types of vocabulary that you teach. Academic vocabulary.
And content vocabulary.
Yes. So this was content specific to the book we were reading. It'd be like, you know, when you're passing out sheets and sometimes they'll bold a word, you know, because it's not a common word or it's only specific to that story you're reading.
Okay.
So I don't remember what the book was or anything,
I was
but
about to ask if you knew what book this was from.
now, you know what? I think hard enough, I might remember. I want to say, for some reason, House on Mango Street is coming to my mind. So that would have been freshman year, maybe not grammar school. Maybe House on Mango Street. Anyways, this was one of those vocab words that always stuck with me because I just thought it was the funniest word ever to describe a very simple thing.
Well, and I think,
The family in the book, they owned a jalopy, and that's what they
okay.
drove to town.
So for our listeners who may not know what a jalopy is, like a jalopy is a like a dilapidated old car. Okay, it's just like a beat up
Beater
car.
with a heater.
And me personally, I've never used the term, but
But you've owned one.
yes, I have owned one, and you've owned your share of them as well.
Look at that cheap shot she just took at me, everybody. Yes, she's owned one, and look at how many have I owned? We get it, okay? Your cars are nice.
If we want to talk about the GMC Jimmy that you drove with a what, broken tie rod?
Only one of them was broken. Guys, this thing would shake while I drove, and it would randomly just start jerking in other
You
directions.
had to have the strongest hold on that steering wheel to keep the car. And then at one point, both tie rods broke on the way home.
Yeah, I could only turn left. I broke right when I got off the highway. It was a GMC Jimmy. I used to call it my jerkin' Jimmy because it would jerk in different directions. Yeah, I drove this thing home once off the highway with both my front tie rods broken.
I remember that. I may have been in the car for that moment.
Jalopies.
Okay, so.
Wait, really quick. I also once owned a 94 Chrysler LeBaron where without a back window and the top didn't go down, and when it rained, it would leak into my trunk. Every time I turned, water would spill over the wheel well, and I'm sorry, every time it rained, and then I would turn, you know, because my trunk would fill up, water would leak over the wheel well, and I would leave a trail.
And then you realize that you found out that if you just drilled a hole into your trunk and let it drain, it wouldn't be running into your back seat.
I found that out the day I junked it, so whatever. Point is, I've owned a lot of
He tried
jalopies.
to be suave with his convertible and take me out, and it never went back up.
The only reason to own a LeBaron is because it's a convertible. Yeah, and I was like, hey, you want to go for a drive on the beach? And yeah, I put it down and it made it about halfway down and never went all the way down.
Or back up.
I had to have somebody break the mechanism and piece it back together piece by piece.
So if anyone knows what a jalopy is, it's Jason. All right, but so the word came about in the early 1920s when US started manufacturing cars. The US would manufacture them and then they would send kind of, I would assume that they would be of the same quality. But from what I was able to gather, they would send like the older cars or maybe not as nice of a cars, they would send them to Canada and Mexico and they would ship them there. They would get like the secondhand cars. So when they would go to Mexico, they were going to Veracruz, but this, I can't talk today. The capital of Veracruz is Jalapa. However, us Americans, we're not pronouncing the J properly, so they were going to Jalapa.
So we were saying the J in English. However, this is a capital city in Mexico, so it's pronounced like an H, so Jalapa.
Yeah, so what ended up happening is because all of the shipments were pretty much going there, when they would put all the information on the cargo, it would say, you know, to Jalapa or how, you know, Jalapa on it. And so they started kind of calling them jalapas because they were going there, right? And the way Americans would say it. And then just like with everything that Americans, a lot of things that Americans adopt, they just kind of kept changing the word and it became jalapies.
I think this was the deal in the last episode too,
With
with
Saloon
yes, so
and
another
Salon, yeah.
instance where Americans are kind of just mispronouncing things.
And they just said it, they nicknamed them jalopies, essentially after the fact that they were going to Jalapa.
So it's funny that sometimes American car makers don't take this into consideration. So I don't know why. This reminds me of, I saw this in a movie. I don't know if the story is true, but I know the words are true. Chevy, I want to say in the 70s or 80s, had a car called the Nova. You know what the Chevy Nova is?
I'm pretty sure I heard my mom and my dad talk about it.
Yeah, so, again, this was an anecdote from a movie. So I'm not entirely sure it checked out, but it did always stick with me. It didn't really sell well in Mexico or Central America when they, you know, shipped it down there. And it's because of Nova. Do you know what Nova means in Spanish?
Mm-mm.
It means to not go or not
Nova.
Go.
Nova. Yeah. Okay.
Right? So they were trying to sell a car that means Chevy
Nova.
Nova. Yeah. So the Spanish translation is true, the Nova, no go thing. I don't know if American car companies had a difficult time selling that car down there. It was just a funny story from a movie. But, I mean, it makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
I should have probably fact-checked that before I brought it up on the podcast. So, asterisk, I don't know if that's entirely true.
I had to Google what it looks like because I don't know what a Chevy Nova looks like.
That,
I mean, it looks
is
like
it the hatchback one?
It looked a little hatchbacky, yeah. It looked like a muscle car, but not.
I'm missing the back?
The
Chevy no-go? Chevy not going? Yeah.
It wouldn't be my first choice.
I'll tell you
know.
What, I'm not buying a car that in my language means doesn't go.
I mean, that would be logical, I agree.
Yeah, that's why we name cars after fast things, like Jaguars, you know? You want to sound cool, not this car doesn't go.
So, on a side note about cars, just because I just thought of it right now, when I was driving with our son to school and he asked, you know, where a coworker's car was. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I think they took this one to work today. He's like, it was my principal. And he was like, wait, they have this car too. I'm like, yeah. He goes, how does someone have two cars? Does he attach them to each other? How can he drive both of them? He had no concept that someone can have two cars and not drive them both at the same time. I don't know, six-year-old thinking.
Okay.
He was really confused. I was like, he leaves the one at home. He goes, but how does he drive them both? I'm like, doesn't drive them at the same time.
So as entertaining as this story is, all I can process is that your principal has two cars, and my principal also owns two cars, and I think we pay principals too much money. I'm just saying.
I love my principal. I'm not complaining about him at all.
I also think your principal is a wonderful boss. But they got too many cars between them. That's four cars between the two principals we know.
I only have one.
Well, I'm just saying.
All right. What do you have for our listeners' request today?
All right. So listener requests. Again, this is the same guy at work when I was telling him or trying to explain the Parkway. And again, guys. Go back and listen to the beginning. I swear I'm explaining it well. If it doesn't make sense, I'm sorry. But I was trying to explain it to him, and he asked me to look at the under the bus. So this guy's actually given me a couple. I think this is probably his second or third listener request. So I encourage you guys, get on Instagram if you have, you know, an idea or whatever, because we get stuff told to us or texted to us all the time. So those are the ones we roll with. But anyway, so he wanted to know about under the bus. Why do we say to throw someone under the bus? Right. So, Lisa, what does it mean to throw somebody under a bus?
When you throw someone under the bus, you kind of, how I think of it, you make them take the blame for something.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. You sort of, you know, you, in a figurative way, you sacrifice them.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know where the under, like, I'm hoping it doesn't have like a morbid meaning to it.
No. So this is one of those ones that the exact origin is, you know, lost in the ether somewhere. Some people think it's a lopper and some, like, minor league baseball thing. But the closest thing I could find to actual evidence, it's, emerges from like a British term in the like, I don't know, late 70s, early 80s. It's like a British politics terms, under the bus. So basically the way it worked is like if you were under the bus or there was certain political opponents who would say, oh, they're under the bus. It means like they're dead. Right?
But so, why a bus?
Well, again, if this is, if the actual origins are in, you know, Britain, they get those big double-decker buses, maybe. It was just, it was a way of saying, like, oh, they're done, they're toast, they're over with. They would use this term against their opponent, like when they trying to get ahead or they were winning, they would say, oh, he's under the bus, he's done, he's toast, he's dead, right? You're like, only modestly shaking your head. That's understandable, right? Like,
no, it's understandable. It's just, it's a weird way to use it. That it's not something familiar, like, nowadays.
Well,
but I could...
Even just saying that, like, you know, as Americans...
I mean, if you're physically under a bus, it means you got ran over and you're dead.
You're dead, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, I think in Americans, like, we say, oh, you're toast. Right? Like, you're done. You're over with. So, it's their version of your toast. Okay? So... That, again, late 70s, early 80s, and then eventually, as all phrases do, they make their way to America, the media catches on, this minor league baseball coach starts using it a lot, and it actually evolves into not just saying they're done, but to actually throw someone under the bus, right? The phrase evolves into not just they're done and over with, but I'm the reason they're done and over with. You threw them under the bus. You sacrificed them to get yourself out of trouble. You're the reason they're toast, they're over with, right? Because you didn't want to get in trouble. So you sacrificed them. You made them take the blame for it.
How would that relate to, like, a baseball thing, though?
No, it doesn't relate to it. A minor league coach, Lopper, I think, a minor league baseball coach used to say it a lot during, like, interviews about the other team. That's how it gets credit for being, like, popularized. It doesn't have any...
I just don't understand how it would even relate to a sports.
No. He just happens to be a minor league baseball coach.
Oh, and he was just using it in conversation that happened to get picked
yeah,
up
in,
by
in
media?
Yeah, in like the media and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And, no.
So
yeah.
I'm just like, I don't know how it relates to...
I actually think this guy's name was Cindy Lopper.
Okay, because I just don't know how it related to baseball.
No,
or
not at all to baseball.
Sense.
It's just
okay.
A minor league baseball coach, Cindy Lopper. He would use it a lot. He would use that phrase. Like, he'd like, you know, we always talk about how once the media gets a hold of something, you know, that was kind of how it got popularized, but in the late 70s, early 80s, it was a big term in British politics to say that your opponent was under the bus. So we kind of evolved that into, I'm throwing them under the bus, so I'm the reason they're over. I sacrificed them for my greater good.
Okay.
You make them take the blame or something like that, you know. And now it's widely recognized as like, basically, you know, when somebody else's mistakes or action, you know, you make somebody else take the blame for their mistakes.
You threw them under the bus, yeah.
Yeah, they're. But it's not necessarily a good thing, right? If you throw somebody under the bus, that kind of makes you look like the coward, right?
Yeah, that means you're, like, avoiding blame, avoiding taking responsibility for something and just, you know.
Yeah, so we have to remember, nobody ever says, oh, I threw them under the bus. It comes from the person that got thrown under the bus, right?
Right. It's usually like an insult to the person who did.
He threw me under the bus.
Yes.
Right? So it's that person who is under the bus, dead, you know, toast, over with. They're blaming somebody else, right? And especially if you're talking about politics or, you know, betraying somebody or anything like that. You don't want to take blame for that, right? You didn't do anything wrong. Somebody threw you under the bus. Somebody's forcing you, you know, to, I guess, fall on the sword, you know, because they're cowards.
Makes sense.
That's all I need. Makes sense from Lisa. All right, guys. One more time. Wherever you're listening, rate and review the show. It really does help.
Also, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Once Upon a Phrase, and feel free to send your listener requests so we can add them to our next episode.
And Fat Chris's Pizza and Such, our favorite sponsors. Can't say enough about them. Delivery, pickup, dine-in, they do it all. Please go hit them up.
All right, until next time. Bye.
Bye.